The words of our psalm, though it be short, portion of the psalm, are words of joy in large part. For we hear in verse 5 of our psalm reading, "Come now and see the works of God. How awesome are God's deeds toward all people." In many ways, I guess that for me kind of summarizes our gospel message from St. Luke. For in this message, we hear how Jesus took 70 of his disciples, pairing them up two by two, and sending them ahead in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. With that instruction, he gave them other words of hope and concern. He told them that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. With that, he added, "Go on your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say peace to this house. And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person, and if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick who are there and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you. Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near.'" Later in our reading, we hear Jesus tell his disciples, "Whoever listens to you listens to me, and whoever rejects you rejects me, and whoever rejects me rejects the one who sent me." What an exciting possibility to be one of Jesus' 70 disciples who were dispatched to towns and villages in the area with those instructions. Indeed, our Lord pulls no punches with his disciples, for he tells them they are like lambs in the midst of wolves. And yet the disciples go. And they go because they have faith, which is a gift of God. And Jesus has given them instructions. And they go to towns. And some towns welcome them. And in the midst of those towns, there are particular houses where they share their peace with the household. And that peace is returned. They say peace, and that peace is returned. And they stay there for a little while, enjoying the hospitality of that household. And yet that is not true everywhere. There are some towns, there are some houses which do not welcome them. Indeed, the word of God is being spread throughout the people of Israel and the adjoining areas. God is giving his people the opportunity to hear his word and be healed. Be healed not only in body but in spirit as demons themselves are being exorcised. What an incredible ministry. What an exciting thing to be part of. This is the same ministry which God gives to believers today. Although we are not sent out two by two in different towns in order to share the word of God, indeed, we are part of that same ministry. And it is an exciting ministry. How exciting it is to follow in the path of Christ. It was exciting in the first century, and curiously enough, it's still exciting in the 21st century. For God's word still has power in our day. Power to change lives, power to exorcise perhaps evil spirits, to help those who are sick in body or in mind, has power to change the world. History records such changes. The world is a vastly different place because of Christianity over the last 20 centuries. And we are a different people because of Christ. Your life is different than it would have been had you not come to faith. There is no doubt in my mind, and I hope there is no doubt in your mind. So I ask you, much as Jesus asked his disciples, or told his disciples, go on your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs in the midst of wolves. Serving Christ, being an ambassador for him and for the kingdom of God, is never easy. Not everyone will accept your faith or share in it. Yet, those who are called to Christ are required to share it with others, to give people the opportunity to meet a loving God and to be changed by him and through him, by his word, by sacrament, certainly by the fellowship of other Christians, by baptism and Holy Communion, by the faith of the whole church. We owe it to our neighbors to share our faith with them as kindly and as generously and as thoughtfully as possible, with as much love as we can muster. And if they hear the word of God and accept it, how marvelous that is. And if they hear the word of God and go in their own direction to another denomination, how wonderful that is. God has chosen that to happen. And if they hear the word of God and perhaps they're not ready for it, we pray for them and we encourage them and we keep on keeping on. You know, I hear this word that has been spoken in the gospel, and I hear Paul's word to the Galatians. And even in the early church, you can see God's word still speaking to us. For Paul tells the Galatians, which is a young church, just learning about his faith, so do not grow weary in doing what is right, for we will reap at harvest time if we do not give up. That is where the church is now. It's easy to give up. It's easy to look at the world and say, I have very little power in the world. I can't change things. My faith only may be a blessing to me, but it can't really change my neighbor or my government or my school district or my state legislature or my federal officials. My faith has very little influence in the world. But it does. Our faith has incredible influence. As we influence our neighbors, and they influence their neighbors, and as we keep strong in our faith, the world can change. Is being changed, maybe not as quickly as we would like. And so we do not give up. My hope for you is that you do not give up. It's easy to look at the brokenness of the world. It's easy to look at the foolishness, even sometimes in the church. The church has done some foolish things at times. It's done hurtful things at times. But it still is a church founded on Jesus Christ and the Word of God. And so, indeed, even though it at times does things that we find hard to imagine, in its brokenness, God is still working through that body and working through people like us, who are far less than perfect. So we do not give up. Those of us that are mature in our faith should strive to be models of faith for our young people, because they do need models of faith. There are models of everything else in the world. A couple extra models of faith would be really helpful. Let us believe indeed that God is doing something wonderful and good with us and through us by the power of the Holy Spirit, working to change what is wrong and to bless and to encourage what is right. There are a lot of, I don't want to be one of these pastors that says, you know, the world's a terrible place and things are bad and whatever. You know, some of that is true. But there are wonderful opportunities out there for people of faith. And God is working through people to build on those opportunities so that a new church, a new generation of faith can rise up. There are wonderful things happening in the world through technology. Not all of it is difficult or hard or perhaps confusing or brings people to anger. Some of it's really very wonderful. And if we use technology to our advantage, how much smarter are we? Certainly looking at Martin Luther and certainly the movable type press, how many lives were changed by having a Bible in their home, in their own language? And that was quite a few years ago. Let us share our faith as we are able, in love, in generosity, in kindness, trusting that God indeed will bless us. If not today, then certainly tomorrow. There are good things in store for Christians, for the church, and for the future of God's kingdom, if we do not give up. For indeed, we will reap at harvest time if we trust in God and continue in our faith, blessed by the Holy Spirit.